What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 2 of the Aesthetic Bodies podcast. Gonna take some getting used to for sure saying that. In this episode today, we're gonna have a special interview, and we're gonna be talking about dealing with an unsupportive partner and how you can be a supportive partner and actually help your partner also support you in your fitness or bodybuilding journey.
Yeah, we wanted to bring somebody else to speak on this topic because honestly, since the both of us have been into the bodybuilding world, we have been together, so we can't necessarily speak on this topic from personal experience, but we can give insight on the positive side, what we have found works best for us. But we wanted to bring in a special guest to speak to you guys about maybe the other side, how to deal with an unsupportive partner, someone who maybe hasn't been the best for you in the past.
Absolutely. But before that, we just wanted to give you guys our weekly recap, as we are going to do every single week, so you can keep up in our journeys in general. So first, Lauren, how's prep going? You know, is the weight dropping? You getting leaner?
Honestly, this has been the best week of prep so far. I felt so good. I lost like 2.5 pounds this past week, so a pretty big drop in weight. Definitely seeing a lot of changes physically and just in a really good place with food right now. Like, hunger is there, but honestly, like, I'm just so much hungrier to see changes in my physique that I don't really care about the food at all right now. It's like I'm very comfortable with the level of hunger that I currently have, but overall, really great week.
Yeah, and do you find that, you know, you're definitely a lot busier than you have been in previous preps when it comes to work and, you know, running a business? You have never prepped while running a business. Do you find that being busy helps you when it comes to your appetite? Is that something you enjoy while on prep?
Honestly, yeah, being busy is so great while being on prep, I feel like, because it kind of brings you away from being so focused on food. Like, we find ourselves having to set alarms to remember to eat our meals because we're just so into, you know, work and getting stuff done for clients, that it's kind of on the back burner, which is honestly such a great thing. I know a lot of people who do struggle with, you know, really high food focus and binge eating, things like that, are people that maybe have a lot more time on their hands.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And that's what I always think when people are like, oh, I'm on prep, I can't do anything for this next 10 weeks. I have to like sit in bed all the time. It's never made sense to me.
I would go crazy.
I'm like, no, you need to keep yourself busy. I would do fucking anything to just not be thinking about food, for sure. 100%. So, Lauren, what was your highlight of this last week?
Oh, highlight of this last week. That is something I did not think about. Honestly, probably just hitting a new low weigh-in a couple days ago. Always a super great feeling to weigh up or wake up with a new low weight.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. And what's your goal for this next week?
Oh, my goal, honestly, same thing. Let's keep that weight coming off, baby. What about you? What was your highlight and what is your goal?
Awesome. For me, highlight of the week, I would say business-wise, business has been doing well, and I think we were definitely on track to hit a record month this month, so that's definitely a win for me for sure. And then goal for this upcoming week, what is this week? This week is going to be in the 20s. I would say just being consistent with everything, and also I had some health issues this last week, so hopefully those are better this week and I can have some more efficient lifts for sure. I'm not going to give you guys the details of that. Just know that it wasn't pleasant for sure.
Yeah. So give us an update on your off season. How's the growing phase going?
It's going well. I just keep getting bigger and leaner, which is obviously very, very good for sure. I was just comparing my check-ins, like my back shot from just April 25th to I think the 16th is when I had my check-ins of May, and already my back looks leaner, looks bigger, and I was like, wow, that's fucking awesome to see. And I only have like 4 more weeks left or so of the of my growing phase, and I enter a mini cut. It's the first time I'll be cutting in 2 years, so it's gonna be super, super exciting for sure.
Can confirm, quality of life is just so much better when you're cutting. Like, you feel better, you feel way more mentally clear, you're way more confident, skin is better. Like, I never want to bulk again. It's all I know.
100%. My skin's always so clear when it, like, the leaner I am, the more clear my skin is. 100%. So that is our weekly update. Now it is time to get into the bulk of today's episode, dealing with an unsupportive partner and how you can be a supportive partner with our interviewee today. It's going to be Coach Sarah. She is an aesthetic bodies coach. She is our head lifestyle and a head prep coach here at Aesthetic Bodies, and she is also our team posing coach. What's up, Sarah?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here today.
We're super, super excited to have you. Yes, Sarah has been working with us for what, three months now? Close to that?
Yeah, three or four, something like that.
Feels like forever. Like, I don't know. It just feels like Sarah's always been around to me.
I know, right? It does. But Sarah, tell us a little bit about just your bodybuilding story. What got you into bodybuilding as a whole?
I think it really stems from my competitive nature. I've always liked to have something that I can feel accomplished in and I can push myself in. Before getting into bodybuilding, I was doing Taekwondo. I was an elite athlete. I was for 5 or 6 years. And, you know, just the circumstances, pandemic hit, I had to put that on pause. And then a lot of my life circumstances changed. I had to completely give that up, and really gave me a feeling of boredom. I wasn't sure really where I was going. I didn't feel like I had goals anymore. So I did start by hiring a coach, and that did help for a little bit. But then I started having that feeling again. I was like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Why am I working this hard? I liked my physique, and I didn't see that much the point to be so disciplined and go to the gym every day. So my coach actually was the one who proposed doing a show, and I was like, oh, that sounds like a fun challenge, let's do it. And I actually fell in love. I'm not even kidding when I say that.
Yeah, I love that. I love when I even myself have lifestyle clients who, you know, they come to me just wanting to improve their body composition, you know, the basic stuff, lose some body fat. But it really is so much harder to stay motivated when you don't have like a photo shoot or a show or something like that. So that's something I always tell my clients. It's like, even if we can just get a small photo shoot, or you have a trip you want to get ready for, like having these specific set in dates in mind for this day you want to look like this by, it helps a lot with motivation.
Exactly. Figure out anything. Just figure out some sort of goal or vision to have, because that is something we always emphasize when it comes to achieving your goals. No matter what it is, you need to have a vision, and it's just so hard to have that vision without having that end date in mind. That's why when people get out of a prep, get out of, you know, competing in a show, that's typically the most difficult time mentally for them, because that's when you're the furthest away from ever thinking about competing again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. I do relate to that so much.
Yeah, so where are you originally from?
I lived on the East Coast my whole life. I'm a French-Canadian, so I lived in Quebec until just recently, where I moved to Alberta, but otherwise, I lived in the same place my whole life. Yeah,
so what sparked you to make that change? Obviously, that is a big move.
Yeah, it is. It was just a lot of circumstances. I just realized that what I was in, I wasn't enjoying. That's not the life that I wanted anymore. And honestly, I credit that change to a lot to bodybuilding, because I did evolve so much as a person through my prep, through my bodybuilding journey. And I became another person, to be honest. And then the goals that I had for myself before that, they weren't relevant anymore. And I realized I just wasn't happy, and I needed to make that change. I was in school still. I was pursuing a PhD, but to me, it started to feel pointless. I wanted to get my hands on stuff and try helping people now. And there was also this shift from wanting to help people that are sick to wanting to help people that are healthy, and I want them to help them level up, right, and become better versions of themselves, you know, be more positive, have a better outlook on life. So this is a little bit of the change that made me move as well.
Yeah, you said, you know, you kind of changed as a person, and I'm sure that you're also alluding to, you know, that means the people you used to hang around or what your environment was didn't fit you anymore. Can you dig a little bit deeper into that, like expand on that?
Yes. Well, at first, you know, the fitness goals were kind of an add-on to my life. And, you know, I was making that fit in everything else that I had, but it became a lot more of a priority for me, and it made me feel great. So then I started giving up other things that would be priority before. And, you know, it did make some people around me leave. It did hurt some of my relationships, and we're going to talk about it later because that's literally the podcast today. But it was also hard on my relationship, right? Because I have been with that person for 5 years, and in the last two, I had completely changed, and my goals weren't the same anymore. So our goals didn't align super well together. So that created a lot of friction, and it was hard to try and make two pieces of puzzle match together that weren't matching anymore, right? So that's how I feel. It was good. The change was really positive for me, and I love the person that I am today. But for sure, around me, people who didn't evolve kind of stayed stuck behind. And then I felt I was more advanced than them, and our mentalities just didn't align anymore.
Yeah, for sure. You said you were in, you know, a relationship for 5 years, and obviously you always grew up in the same area, so I'm sure you had, you know, people you've known forever, you know, local to you. How old are you now?
I'm 24.
Yeah, so you were 19 when that relationship first started. Yeah, there can definitely be a lot of development during that phase for sure. It makes total sense.
Yeah, and something that so many people get stuck on is like, you have to accept at some point that it is okay to just outgrow people. It's okay to outgrow relationships. It happens all the time. And trying to force yourself to be stuck in a place that doesn't serve you anymore is just going to keep you held back from your full potential. So sometimes that's just what you need, you know, that move across the country, that, you know, fresh start to be able to really develop into your own person. Because so many people, you know, they're stuck in who they were in high school and they feel guilty for changing, but it is completely okay to change as a person.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And getting into that, you know, now you are trying to change. You're trying to continue and evolve and level up, Sarah. So what is, like, your vision of the perfect Sarah to you? What is that end goal? You're like, I want to achieve this, this, and this.
Well, first of all, to me, fitness is a lot more than just physical, right? I built the person that I am today through fitness, and I'm still, you know, learning to grow through it. So yes, in terms of like more tangible things, I have some fitness goals. Like I want to get my pro card. I want to build myself a name on the pro ranks. But more importantly, honestly, I just want to keep evolving, becoming a better person every day, and, you know, just learning to grow and always try to be better. And that kind of translates to my aspirations as a coach too. I want to be the greatest coach I can be. I want to help as many people as I can. But more importantly, I want to inspire. I want to help build people up through leadership, through passion. I want to help them become the best versions of themselves as well. To me, that's really the pinnacle of life for anyone, just being the best person that you can be. And I want to help people on their path to that best versions of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were just talking about this last night. We were actually out to dinner with Dylan's dad and his fiance. And, you know, we were talking about how just, you know, some people are just so complacent with where they're at. And it just, we were explaining, like, it's just a lifestyle. Like, it's so hard to put into words sometimes that we always just want to get better at anything and everything that we're doing. And if you are a person like that, who just is constantly trying to develop yourself, constantly trying to get better and be the best at everything that you're doing, you will not match with someone who is not on that same page as you.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%, 100%. That's why, like, Lauren is definitely, you know, a hard ass for sure, like, always pushing me to get better in certain areas. I'll push her to get better in certain areas, whether that's business, bodybuilding, relationship, just overall health, whatever it could be. We're always trying to push each other to get better in every single aspect for sure. So totally get that. So when it comes to, you know, you said you want to get your pro card, make your name in the pro ranks. Would your dream be like Olympia? Is that something you'd want to do? Because of course, things that come with that can be, you know, longer PED use and just dieting for a long time in your older age. Are those things you've thought about and you're like, hey, this is something I really want to do?
Yeah, so I did. So last year when I competed, I did do both bikini and wellness because we did think I fit the structure. So I kind of have two different visions for the future, and all of that will depend on this season, actually. So depending on, you know, whether I get my pro card, where I get it, you know, kind of the attention that comes with it. If I get my pro card in a really big show, I kind of feel like that's going to set my career. And I would definitely want to pursue that, get on that Olympia stage for sure. That would be a dream. But then if I do get my pro card in a smaller show and, you know, with a little bit less of attention, maybe I'd like to grow into wellness, right? So take a long off season, grow those legs, and then try to go at it for a second pro card. Who knows? So those are kind of my two visions for now, but definitely bikini is the main thing for me right now.
Oh, yeah. Pull a Coach Lauren and Coach Dylan and take like 2 years off before competing again.
Yeah. So do you think that if you went pro as a bikini athlete that you would compete maybe in wellness as a pro? Because I still find it crazy that you can go pro as a bikini athlete, but then you could compete in women's physique if you wanted in the pro league. So do you think that that's something you would do, or do you think you would stick to the division that you go pro in?
No, I definitely stick to the division. I want to earn my card. If ever I wanted to go pro in wellness, I think I would just go through the process again, right, of going through regionals and nationals to get that card in wellness.
Can you do that?
I'm not sure.
I don't think you can do that. That's where...
You'd have to
give up your card.
Give off your card, yeah, in bikini.
That's interesting.
That's super interesting for sure. Yeah, I've definitely heard of especially guys in the past doing that where they're like, I'm going to compete heavyweight bodybuilding and I don't care how long it takes. And they're like, you could go win your pro card in like any other division right now. And they're like, nope. They just take that time. And hey, that's what you want to do. There's one guy who... He declined his pro card like 4 times because he said he wasn't ready. So he won nationals 4 times and declined it every time. And then finally got it.
That's
something else. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, thinking about it, like, I don't really think if you go pro in bikini, you should be able to compete in the pro league in these other divisions.
No.
Because then if they see you on stage, you know, say someone who has no idea is just at a pro show and they're like, why the hell does this girl have her pro card? Just like, you kind of assume that that girl went pro in wellness if she's competing in wellness in the IFBB pro league. I do think it's a weird concept to go pro in a smaller division, but then compete in a bigger division. Like, you better make sure that you're actually going to line up well.
I think it's definitely because of men, especially because let's be real, like men's physique guys, half of them have big enough legs. They could go to Classic right now and go compete, or Classic could go compete men's physique. Like, there's a lot of crossover with that. Or Classic guys will move up to open bodybuilding because of the weight caps. So like weight caps, I think, is when you start seeing why you have that, because some men just, they're going to outgrow their division that they went pro in and they're going to have to go up. But with women, they don't usually have weight caps. So it is like a lot harder to justify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. But all right. So with your last prep, did you encounter any big obstacles that you feel like really held you back?
I'd have to say I suffer a lot with like imposter syndrome, right? And I think that's the case for a lot of people, unfortunately. And that's in many spheres of my life. It has been for a long time as an athlete, as a coach, that every time I've had success just from having great results as a lifestyle client to winning overalls at bodybuilding shows, it's always been hard for me to feel like I deserve that success. So that was like a big part for me throughout prep, where first it comes with doubting yourself, like, oh, but am I going to be good? And then once you realize that, okay, maybe I'm good, then feeling like you didn't really deserve it. So that's definitely something I'm still working through, but I realized how much I've changed and I've evolved as a person, and that has definitely helped diminish that syndrome a little bit. I'm more secure in who I am today, so I need less external validation, which really helps. But for sure, that's still something I'm working through.
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely struggled with imposter syndrome before and not feeling like I deserved certain things. And for me, it's part of it definitely stems from like my childhood and definitely having a lot of like doubt and things like that. Do you think that that stems from some place for you, like why you feel like that?
Yeah, for sure. I can relate to the childhood part. I had a difficult family life growing up. My brother was a little bit of a troublemaker, so a lot of the attention was on him and my parents trying to deal with that. So I was often left on my own to do my own things because I was super autonomous. So I didn't get a lot of recognition from them. And when I got into Taekwondo more seriously, they didn't really understand the sport. So I didn't have a lot of support. it stemmed from fear. I can recognize that now, but they were holding me back because they were scared for me. Of course, it's a contact sport, so they were scared I would injure myself, and I did, and I had concussions, but for me, it was worth it. To them, it wasn't. So lack of support there, lack of belief in me, which is like a trend a little bit throughout my childhood. So that's definitely where it comes from. I'm aware of it now, but I can't change it, right? So I'm just going to try to work on it in the present moment.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like we definitely like see that a lot with parents, especially me. Like I come from like a small ass like country town where it was definitely the parents were like, oh, what? Like you can't be an entrepreneur or be a bodybuilder or whatever the fuck it may be. Like, oh, you cannot do that. They're like, what? No, just go get your degree and just do like everything as basic and straightforward as possible. If there's anything out of the ordinary, like of course a girl competing in Taekwondo out of the ordinary. Whoa. Yeah, absolutely.
Completely. Yeah, but then you transition from Taekwondo into another sport that is arguably pretty dangerous, bodybuilding. So how do you feel like the support is now with bodybuilding? Is it better? Is it worse?
I feel like my parents are more detached from it. Like I'm older, right? So I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want, right? But they're definitely not liking it that much. They still don't really understand it. Of course, like, once I won my shows, they were happy for me. They congratulated me. But there's a lot of lack of knowledge, ignorance that stems from there. And I get it. Bodybuilding is not a super known sport. So on prep, being offered food happens all the time. Mm-hmm. So I had to just cope on my own, find ways that I could protect myself, you know, and still have my family around. For the support that they were willing to give me, it wasn't like the greatest thing ever. But I take what they gave me now. I'm just, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, for sure. I know when I'd go see my grandparents, things like that, it was just, they were making whatever food they were making, and it was like, sucks to suck, right? For sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely super, super different, like family to family. And then you'll see some families where the parents will be making your meal prep for you, and it's ready to go in the morning. It's very different.
Yeah, I know for my first ever prep, I was 17 years old. So obviously I was still living with my parents, you know, and it was really hard. Like, I can't even stress how much harder it is living with your family, trying to go through the process, because obviously it's not their job to like make sure that everything is accommodating you. Like, that's what I want everybody to understand. Like, you do not have to accommodate me. Like, this is my choice. And a lot of people sometimes feel like they have to accommodate you, you know, maybe even stop inviting you to stuff. And it just, your life becomes really, really, really different. But then even just having, you know, other people's food all around you, I'd come home to crumble cookies and pizza on the counter, you know, it made everything a lot harder.
Her family's wild. There's not too much cooking going on. That's for sure. It's a lot of food sitting out a lot of the time, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, obviously when I started wanting to compete in a bodybuilding show when I was 17 years old, my parents were not very supportive, and like, that's completely understandable because it's not a normal thing. Like, it's very out of the blue, especially for a younger girl to be wanting to do. And now, you know, we work with a ton of younger girls now, and we see the same thing all the time, that these girls are having to support themselves through the sport just because their parents just aren't very comfortable around it. So I feel like that's something we are really passionate about too, you know, spreading more knowledge about what the sport really is. And, you know, we'll even hop on calls with some of these parents sometimes, just trying to better explain it as best as possible.
Yeah, and we're super, super transparent. Like, we'll completely just tell them the risks, we'll tell them the reward, everything like that, 100%. It's so funny because it's like, if you said, oh, Dad, I really want to play volleyball or basketball, they're like, oh, we'll pay for whatever we need to pay for. And then bodybuilding, it's like, I need this $150 to get into my class. And like, no, sorry.
Yeah. What I like to tell people, honestly, is when they want to compete, right? Because most people that compete for the first time, they have no idea what they're getting themselves into. And like, it was the same for me. I had no idea. And what I like to tell them is, you know, you have to know that it's going to be isolating because people around you aren't going to understand. Even if they try super, super hard, if they're not, they don't have knowledge of the bodybuilding world, they're not going to understand, and you'll have to deal with that while going through a prep, right? So And most people, I think, understand, and that's when community becomes super important, where you need to surround yourself with people that have gone through it or are going through it right now. I feel social media is so, so good for that. It was really helpful for me in my first prep too.
100%. I think the biggest thing with people not understanding, you know, whether it's family making food that doesn't really support your goals or anything like that, like Lauren said, it's not their responsibility. I believe their responsibility is to just not guilt you for not eating the food or not, you know, doing those things. And that's where a lot of family especially needs to learn
for
where
sure.
that line's drawn, where it's like, okay, you don't want to, you know, necessarily support what I'm doing, cool, but at least don't guilt me for going after my dreams and my goals.
Exactly. That is the worst part, because it is 100% your choice. You are doing this bodybuilding show. Nobody is making you do this. So I hate when people are just constantly complaining about their cardio, complaining about having to eat healthy, complaining about everybody not trying to accommodate for them all the time, because realistically, this is nobody else's problem but yours. And of course, these people should be there supportive for you, but it's also not their responsibility to deal with it all, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So into that, have you ever had a unsupportive partner in the past? Because, you know, you said that you did have a partner, you know, while going throughout this process, and that it maybe did bring your relationship a little bit farther apart. So how do you feel like prep and bodybuilding as a whole impacted your relationship?
Yeah. Can you preface by, like, you know, what your relationship was like prior to, so then we can understand really how much it changed and how?
Yeah. So of course, because of the way I kind of got into it. So at first I was just, you know, lifestyle, wanted to just go to the gym, look a little bit better. And then one day to the other, I was on prep, right? So I talked to my coach, and 2 weeks later, we're like, okay, let's do this. We're starting prep. So it was a lot, first of all, for me, because it was new to me too. I had a lot to learn. And then my partner knew nothing about bodybuilding. He did go to the gym a little bit, trying to be healthier, but it, like, he didn't know anything about that. He's not on social media to look at all of it. So there was a lot of misconceptions and ignorance on his part, and it was hard because that made him defensive and closed off. So as much as he wanted to understand, there was definitely a wall that kind of built up, and it was really hard to get through. So that's when, really when I started prep, that it started going a little bit downhill, because there was also a lot of insecurities that came from that ignorance. And that turned into me having to exert extra energy to reassure him, right? And over time that became tiring. It was an added stress. There's some things I didn't want to bring forward because I knew it was going to have a negative impact on him, and that I would need to justify myself. So again, that kind of built the gap as well between us. And there were also times where it was on me, right? I didn't necessarily feel comfortable voicing my boundaries, and that did create frustration and resentment on my part. So it was on both ends. I don't blame anyone for how it happened or any of that. I just think that's how it was meant to happen. And, you know, outside of prep, after prep, I did my first prep naturally, right? I did both open and natural shows. And then after prep, PEDs became a huge issue in the relationship because my partner didn't have a lot of knowledge on it. It really scared him. And to him, me starting PEDs was me prioritizing my bodybuilding journey over our relationship, which I understand, right? We lived together. We had a house. We wanted children. So to him, that was a real deal breaker. And that's tough because that meant that I had to choose between two huge goals of mine, which were having a family with this man or, you know, potentially turning pro in the sport that I love. And I remember him coming to me, telling me that he Googled PEDs and their side effects, and that I was going to grow a beard, have like clitoris enlargement, infertility, that my voice was going to change. And it really freaked him out. And I remember that moment so clearly. I didn't even have the energy to nuance anything that he was saying. I was honestly over it. It was, we had gone through a prep, and it had been hard on our relationship. And now he was kind of bringing another issue in this. And it's unfortunate because it did lead me to hide from him the fact that I was going to start a cycle.
Yeah.
And it drew us apart a lot too when he found out, because he did, of course, like, I don't know how I thought I would get away with this, but he did find out, and that was probably the pinnacle of how the relationship, we kind of decided that that wasn't going to work, right? And we wanted different things from then on.
Yeah, it makes total sense, you know, value-wise, because 100%, you know, thinking about having kids, starting a family, yeah, you're taking PEDs, you're running the risk of course, virilization. That is 110% something you do risk, especially depending on the safer uses that you are using PED-wise. So that makes a lot of sense for sure. Digging into, you know, your prep, because of course, when you started prepping, 2 weeks notice, very, very short period of time to all of a sudden be like, hey, babe, yeah, can't go out anymore. Sorry. I can understand, you know, how that would be uncomfortable at first for sure. You know, did he ever try to, you know, be supportive when it came to that? Or was it really like, I'm just not happy with this bodybuilding overall, not something that I want to have happening?
So the first couple of weeks, you know, it's a shock. It was a shock for him. So the first few weeks, he was just like, you know, I'm trying to understand. I want to understand. I want to support you. And he was trying really, really hard. I have to give him that. But there was really that disconnect between his intentions and his actual capacities, right? I feel like he tried super, super hard. He just couldn't find it in him to completely accept it. And unfortunately, like, I could feel it. So even if he was saying it through words, like, oh, I support you, I want you to do good, he celebrated me after my shows, he said he was super proud of me, that he loved that for me. But there was always a little something that I knew wasn't there and that I wanted to be there, right? So it's not that he didn't try, because he really did, and I have to give him that.
Yeah, was he like interested in like fitness and the gym at all or any of that? Like how far apart was he in that aspect?
He was interested. He did go to the gym pretty frequently. He started going when I started going too. So we had been going to the gym together for a few years, even before I started like seriously bodybuilding. So he knew a little bit about the gym. That was an interest of him, but he was also kind of a party guy, if you want, that likes to have his beers, play video games, go out with his friends. So from the start, we didn't really connect there, because I've never really been like that. I don't really like to go out. I don't really like to drink. So that was a part that, to me, we weren't already connecting on. But when once I started my bodybuilding journey, just got like a bigger disconnect, because to me, that was just like, well, that's not even an option anymore. It's not that I don't want to do it. It's not an option anymore. So definitely he was into fitness, but it wasn't such a big part of his life. And I feel like he was just piggybacking on me, because I was doing it right. I was the one prepping all the food. I would do the meal prep. He'd just eat the meal prep. And that's just because that's what was there, right? If we got restaurant every single day, he would have eaten that too. He didn't really care that much about it. So there's that aspect of like caring that I had and that he didn't, and that I wish he had, right?
You wanted to share the same passion.
Yes. Yeah, yes. And I mean, no, go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be so hard. Like, I couldn't imagine from an outsider's perspective being with a bodybuilder when you don't understand, because the reality is, you can't understand until you're in those shoes, you know, because I totally see from the other point of view, you know, you want to be this competitive bodybuilder. You might be taking these drugs that are ultimately, yes, they are going to probably impact your health, could even impact your fertility and ability to be able to start a family. And I can totally see from the other person's point of view how that can be like, wow, like you're choosing this over me. And at some point, like, if you can't get behind it, like if you don't understand it, I can totally see like it's just not going to work.
If you do not have like PED education, they are like the devil, 110%. Yeah. Even if I thought, if I asked myself 10 years ago about PEDs, I would have been like, oh, horrible. I'll never know. Like definitely, for sure. Even though I was already lifting, I was already into the gym. It was just something where if you didn't know about them and you knew like there are ways you can mitigate risk, then yeah, you'd be fucking terrified for sure right away. Even I can even tell my dad now, my dad knows that I'm on test, and I can tell he's even still uncomfortable with it for sure. His fiance is even more uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I was too at first. I had to get the knowledge on it right before starting it, and I wanted to, And then it became kind of a trust thing because I told him I know the risks. I know how to mitigate them, and I know how to keep it as healthy as possible, right, for our relationship's sake. And then there was really like that part of he didn't believe that necessarily. Mm-hmm. So again, that came back to pulling in different directions, right? Because I was trying to tell him that I would do it the safest way possible and that I was doing it that way for him in some sense. And then him being like, yeah, I don't really believe that in my head. It's just, if you started, you're done for, kind of. Yeah. So again, that was like another issue that came up for sure.
Yeah, I've definitely gauged that, you know, he seems a little bit like of a traditional, like I would say, like, you know, traditional yeah. guy in general. Did like you just even just getting shredded and having to show your physique off so much, you know, posing practice and things like that, did that, you know, make him uncomfortable?
That didn't make him uncomfortable, but it did make him insecure. Mm-hmm. It did came up a couple of times that he was like, you're going to leave me for another bodybuilder now that you're doing this, because, yeah. you know, there are a lot of guys that look better than me. And then again, it comes back to, well, I had to reassure him all the time that I wasn't, because I wasn't with him for the way he looked. And that became really heavy too, because I had my own stuff to deal with. And he had never been a really secure person in our relationship. And at the beginning, I had to kind of deal with the same thing, and I was okay with it. We had moved past it. And now that I was getting into this, it's like we were back to square one, which to me was really disheartening. And I couldn't really believe I had to go through that again, right, with the same person. So it wasn't uncomfortable. And, you know, he was like, you look good. I'm really proud of you. But there was this part of him that didn't feel like super secure or like he deserved it. I don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think honestly, like I can speak from like my own experience too. Like when it comes to Lauren and I were long distance at first while she was bodybuilding, and definitely I felt insecure sometimes for sure when she's going and lifting with like, you know, other bodybuilders, things like that. I'm like, what? I'm like, these guys are fucking jacked. Like what? I'm like, why is she with me? Like that's what I, yeah. It's definitely, I would say, like I would compare it a lot to like imposter syndrome, where it's like, mm-hmm. why is this girl with me when there's these other guys who are like excelling and doing better than I am, like in this aspect that's so important to her, for sure. Like I can definitely empathize with that, but it is just about how much self-control do you have with those thoughts and everything. Like, can you tell yourself you're being a fucking idiot, or do you lose it?
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely even harder in Dylan's instance, because yes, we were completely across the country from each other. I was living in LA, going to college. You know, yeah, there were a lot of other bodybuilders there. I was in like a lifting club. Like I was around a lot of other people, and we were completely across the country. So like, of course, that's going to be a little bit difficult at times.
Oh my God. Yeah. She has no idea like how much I'd be worried about. I never said shit to her.
But I mean, Sarah, you and him were living together, so that's also a little bit of a different situation, you know?
Yeah, and we had been together for like 4 years, so I was like, at what point do you think I'm with you for like physical looks? After 4 years, if that was my goal, you know, we wouldn't have lasted 4 years. So then it became like a confidence thing. And again, that's a little bit where maybe I outgrew him, because I had grown my own confidence and I had grown secure in myself, and he was completely the opposite of that. So to me, that was hard, because I kind of had to myself fill that gap that he couldn't fill himself at that moment, right? So that was a lot of energy poured into it, and that created some resentment of like, why do I have to do this? That's not my job. Like, I'm okay with being a partner that has to reassure you a little bit, but I cannot take the whole place for you to be like, I'm going to handle all of your confidence.
Yeah.
Like, because, I can't do that.
Yeah. At that point, it's almost like questioning your character and questioning your intentions. Yeah. Like, and that's a completely 100%. Different story.
Yeah. 100%. That's the thing. Like, no matter what guys were around Lauren, I was like, Lauren's not fucking like doing anything. I was like, first of all, she's boring as fuck, and it's just going to go back to her dorm and go eat and go to bed at 7. So wasn't too worried about things.
Yeah, I was also in like the midst of my eating disorder, so my ass wasn't going out.
Yeah, I was like, it is what it is for sure. But did you like, so when it comes to to like struggling with trust? Is that something you guys commonly struggled with in general? Because for Laura and I, it's just hard because we work together, we bodybuild together, we're always together. There's no time when someone's going out without the other or something like that. So it's mm-hmm. really easy for us to trust each other because we're never not together. But for you guys, obviously, having somewhat separate lives, like you said, he liked to, you know, go out with his friends sometimes, have drinks, or, you know, he'll go play video games. Like, he had, like, separate interests to you. Did you ever find that you struggled with trust or he struggled with trust with those things?
Before bodybuilding, besides, like, insecurities and kind of the what if, like, oh, I'm not good enough for you and things like that, trust wasn't really an issue before bodybuilding. Like, I had a lot of trust in him. Well, actually, I cannot speak for him, but I felt like he had a lot of trust in me too. And we didn't have any issues about that at all. I knew his fears, right? Because he had some bad experiences in the past too that I totally, totally understand. And I was trying to be really aware of that, but there was never any issues of thinking that something was going on like behind his back or behind mine. There was always a lot of trust. It became an issue when it was about bodybuilding. And I think it's also his fear of seeing me change so quickly and so much and feeling like he couldn't keep up. And then that became an issue because he was like, if I can't keep up, well, she's going to replace me, right? Because mm-hmm. there's someone that can keep up. So I feel that's a little bit where it's starting to be an issue for sure. But before bodybuilding, it wasn't really an issue at all.
Yeah, I can see where that's definitely can be, like, you know, cause anxiety for him for sure. It's even just like Lauren and I, when we started the business, Lauren had, you know, bigger following on social media, would, you know, definitely found success faster when it came to pulling clients, things like that. And that was definitely something we struggled with early on when it came to, like, I'd be like, oh, like, Lauren's gonna be, you know, pulling in all these leads and doing all this, like, she doesn't need me, like, why am I here? She's just going to leave me for mm-hmm. someone who can do this. And, like, definitely those are things that I definitely struggled with for sure at one point in our relationship.
Yeah, for sure. Starting the business is definitely tricky because we've talked about this a little bit, but we both just, like, quit our jobs, like, right off the bat. We were like, we are all in, like, we quit our jobs. So it was frustrating at the beginning. You know, there was a lot of inequality on that side of things, but we both trusted each other, knew we had what it took, so we just fucking grinded and we made it work.
Yeah, 100%. It's just about, you know, just trying to do as much for each other as you possibly can, right?
Yeah. So Sarah, you haven't been out of this relationship for very long. Would you say you're enjoying the single life right now? Are you looking?
Yeah, are you looking?
Not really. I mean, I moved here to focus on my bodybuilding. That was really, like, the number one goal, focus on my bodybuilding, on my coaching. So I'm actually pretty, pretty busy, and prep's going to start in about, like, 4 weeks. So I really want to focus on that. I'm not looking for anything. I love living on my own. This is the first time ever that I'm living on my own, because before living with my ex-partner, I was with a roommate, and then I was living at my parents' house. So it's the first time I'm completely on my own. I feel like an adult, which is a little bit weird, but I love it. It's like things are always in their place. My food isn't going anywhere. So I've really been enjoying it. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never lived alone.
I know. That's one thing that I kind of like want. Like, just at one point in my life, like, I haven't really lived alone either.
Okay, Lauren.
I lived, the closest I ever got to living alone was when I lived in a dorm and my roommate moved out for 2 months.
She lived alone longer than I did.
But that wasn't like a real living situation. I had a fucking mini fridge. Like, it wasn't being an adult yet. But that's just, it's something that's definitely weird that I've actually never have and never will live on my own. So that's never something I'll get to experience. So that is what I'm looking forward to when we get a bigger place.
When she leaves me? I was wondering where she was taking that.
No, when we get a bigger place, like being able to have a little bit more of our own space, because it definitely can be a little bit tricky. Like, no matter how much we love each other, like, we are together 24/7.
Lauren's saying she needs us to install a soundproof room that she can just sit herself into and not hear me anymore.
No, I think we would both benefit a lot from having a little bit more space from each other. And it's something that we've even tried to work on. Like, we both think it's very important to have your own things and have a little bit more separation, but like, we genuinely can't. Like, we run the business together. We live in a two-bedroom apartment. One bedroom's our office. So
yeah, we have like this pretty much the same interests. I would say the only interest I have that she doesn't is like, I'm really into like movies. So I would love to be able to just, like, I don't even need a place in our actual apartment. I would, like, mine would just be, like, going and seeing a movie, like, once a month or something. Like, that's all I would need.
Yeah, maybe in
but
the
I mean,
future.
If it works, guys.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That's the thing.
I'm a simple man.
So, moving forward into your future relationships, would you say that there are any, like, specific red flags that you're, would be like, no, absolutely not, or anything that you're, like, you know that you want?
So for me, honestly, the biggest green flag someone can have is have like a curious personality. It's one thing to want to understand, but it's another to have the kind of motivation and openness to discover new things, right? And I believe that a lot of issues stem from fear, even more when it comes to giving, receiving support. And in the bodybuilding world, where it's not super common, right? People don't know a lot about it. Someone who holds a lot of fear will not be as curious and will struggle to be fully supportive. So to me, that like curious aspect of, and it's really a personality trait to me, right? It's not just like, oh no, well, I like to watch new movies, or I like to, it really has to be something about the person that I can feel in them, that there's this openness and this curiosity to understand, discover new things. Definitely that would be something I'm looking for in someone. And if I'd have to go with like one big red flag, we've talked a little bit about it already, but someone that's really insecure, that doesn't believe in themselves or what they bring to the table, because then you find yourself having to reassure them all the time. And personally, it makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong for my partner. And you know, it's, I'm a very nurturing person, so it's hard for me to feel like I'm not doing enough for that person not to feel secure. Even if I know deep down it stems from them and not from me, I do tend on taking that on my shoulders, and to me it's really, really hard.
Yeah, for sure. Would you say that you have any red flags?
Me?
Yeah.
As a person? well, I mean, I feel like prep can be a red flag, right? I know, like, looking back at my last prep, that I was unavailable at some points.
Yeah.
Like, didn't have the energy to give to someone either my time or, you know, just my presence. So definitely something that I would like to work on once, like, I'm in a prep and I have someone around me, be more careful of keeping the other one's feeling in mind and making sure that their needs are still being filled while I'm going through that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure, like, you know, prep, depending on who you are, you could lose your sex drive fucking 3 months out. And then, like, I'm sure that can be really, really difficult for a relationship, like, between you and your partner, for sure, if they're, like, you know, feeling ready to go and you're like, oh, good night.
Yeah, and it was an issue in my last relationship. Yeah. I've had, coming out of prep, I had really low tests as well.
Yeah.
So no sex drive at all. So again, you know, that's just another factor that drove us apart. There's a lot of things that came into it, but definitely that was an issue too. And for the last 2 months of prep, so that was like maybe 6 months of me being like, not really, right?
Yeah, that happens with, I mean, both males and females. Yeah. I struggled a lot with low tests as well. I think my test was like at 3 after my first prep. Like, it was super low. That's why I initially
It was like 1.
Yeah, and I initially ended up starting TRT at a very young age because of that, which is also why Dylan started TRT as well, because he has naturally low tests even as a man.
Yeah, I didn't even realize I was struggling from, like, the symptoms I was, because it would say it was low normal, like, in the reference range. But then as soon as I took it, I was like, this improved, this improved, this improved. I was like, this is crazy. Like, I virtually have never had a sex drive in my entire life. Like, since the day I was born, not once ever, until I started taking tests. Never.
So you're a new man then.
I'm a new man. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I was literally like, because people would describe, like, all in movies, TV shows, like, guys would be like, and like, the ones like pursuing women and like wanting to have sex and things like that. Never crossed my mind once. I graduated high school as a virgin. I graduated college as a virgin. Like, I just didn't give a fuck. Like, I just lifted weights, ate, and played Xbox. And, like, that's, like, all I did. And, like, I just had no interest. And I always wondered why. I was like, oh, I just must be, like, different. Like, I would tell people I was, like, asexual.
Yeah. Asexual.
Like, oh, my God,
I was,
really?
I was like, I don't know. Like, I was like, I'm just as into myself as I am anyone else. So I was like, I don't understand. And then, yeah, so it's super, super interesting. Like, that's just one example. But, like, overall energy, too, confidence, motivation, like, all those things improved. It's crazy.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's so overlooked how beneficial it can be. But let's get into really quick, like, some things that, because I know a lot of people struggle with this. Like, I've had so many requests for this specific podcast from even my clients who maybe have a partner that isn't mm-hmm. into bodybuilding. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a non-negotiable thing. Like, oh, my partner has to be a bodybuilder, because that's just very unrealistic. There's not that many people out there to choose from.
Yeah. And if you, depending on the division of bodybuilder that your male partner's in, he might be a fucking psycho. So you always have to be
Oh my God. Yeah. There are some crazy motherfuckers out there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The amount of, like, even women I've heard, like, abuse stories from, yeah. you know, their husband was on tread and was just hitting them every night, like, gosh. So
yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you want to be with a bodybuilder, Sarah, or do you think, like, just a person who just understands?
I don't mind. I feel like since I've moved here, the only people I've been around are bodybuilders, so in some sense I guess it would make sense that I connect with someone here that's into the bodybuilding scene. But I don't really mind, as long as they have that openness to be like, I want to understand your lifestyle, right? And it's also because bodybuilding came into my relationship, I feel like I had less room because the relationship was there before. But now I have bodybuilding and I'm adding a relationship into it. So if the relationship isn't working for my lifestyle, then you know what? It's like, it's not worth it. It's too bad. So I kind of have more room to meet people that aren't into bodybuilding, but that have that openness and that are willing to understand. And if it's not working, well, you know, my number one priority now is bodybuilding, so the relationship is just gonna take the back burner, versus my relationship before was like the number one and I had to sacrifice bodybuilding, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. So what it sounds like to me is you definitely would be looking for someone that is also nurturing. Like, you're a nurturing person, but yeah. you need that too, for sure, right? Are there any other, for like sure. If you could think of, like, some other perfect traits, like, that you need for support, like, someone yeah. supporting you, what are those? Like, how do you need someone to specifically support you?
Because yeah, like, different. Imagine you were back in that same situation. What could your partner have done different to support you?
Well, definitely someone that's proactive, right? So that takes the lead. You know, on prep, you get to a point, you're so tired, you can't do anything. And, I mean, I prepped. I was doing a PhD full time and I had a job at the same time. So I was literally all over the place. I would have needed someone to take on more responsibilities, be more available, right? Being like, tonight I have the night. Is there anything you want to do or you want me to do, you know, around the house, or just draw you a bath? I don't know, give you a massage, just that, so that I feel like someone's going to take care of stuff if I cannot.
Yeah.
So just picking up little things around the house, doing my meal prep for me once in a while, you know, that would be nice. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Taking notes. It's okay. I'm already the massage and chore god. So.
Yeah.
You're doing good.
Yeah. Dylan, what would you say is the number one thing you need from your partner when you're going through, you know, a tougher phase in a contest prep?
Literally all I need is affirmations. Like, just tell me I'm doing great. Mm. Just support me. I can do everything my fucking self. Like, I'm not someone, I didn't struggle on prep with, like, too much energy or anything like that. I just want someone who I know is 100% there for me and supporting me, doesn't doubt me, doesn't have, like, negative feelings towards me. Like, I just need to feel the love. As long as I feel the love, like, I am 100% okay. I don't, like, if I need to make my own meals, if I need to clean the apartment, whatever it may be, like, I can do that. Like, that's fine. As long as you're just supportive of me, I'll continue to be supportive of you. Because I think I get a lot out of also being the nurturing person. Like, I don't think I could ever, doesn't matter how bad I feel, I don't think I could ever not, like, be a part of that. Like, I would always want to give Lauren her massage at night, or I would always want to help, you know, do the dishes or and make sure I'm doing the laundry and all that stuff. Like, it's not something, like, I would be like, oh, I can't do this. Like, it makes me feel good, like, doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like one of the most important things when you have a partner that's not interested in bodybuilding and you're going into a bodybuilding prep, you need to have this conversation before prep. Like, hey, this is what's going to happen. Those last few weeks, I might just feel be feeling a little bit down, a little bit lower energy. And I really need to know that you will be there for me to help pick up a little bit of the slack sometimes, you know, especially if you're a parent, if you have kids, you know. It can really interfere with these things. So having that conversation, because you also shouldn't be expecting your partner to pick up all the slack, because you still have your responsibilities and you can't just throw everything away because you're going into a contest prep. That can be very selfish too.
For sure. Totally agree.
Yep. The reminder's always, you know, we choose to go into prep. So it's always just drawing that line for sure. But of course, if you have a supportive partner, they should 100% be able to pick up some of the slack.
Yeah, so let's get into some things really quickly, just what you can do to support your partner. Maybe you're someone listening to this podcast and you want to know how you can best support your partner through this phase. Number one, go with them to the gym maybe sometimes. Go, you know, it can be a little bit lonely sometimes. As you said earlier, Sarah, you know, it can be a little bit isolating. Maybe offer to join them at the gym. You know, a lifting partner always makes things so much more enjoyable.
100%. I mean, the gym, like, let's say you're going for an hour and a half, 5 days a week. That's a lot of time that you could be spending with your partner instead of being apart, for sure. So I can definitely see how that's so beneficial. I would imagine it would be really, really hard being a bodybuilder and not having a partner who at least goes to the gym, because that's just, if you work and then you go to the gym, let's say you work your 9 to 5, you also have your commute, let's say it's 30 minutes both ways, add an hour to that 9 to 5, then you also have the gym that's an hour and a half, like, you're never seeing your partner.
Yeah.
Next up, do not ask them to cheat. Please, God, just don't do it. Yeah. They don't want to go out to eat with you. They don't want a bite of your food. Let's just make it easier for everyone.
Sarah, did you ever have, like, your partner, like, hey, come on, one time, like, let's just go do this. Was that ever a thing?
Well, like, more like bites offered, like, oh, he's having something, like a burger. He's like, do you want a bite? Like, I kind of do, but I also don't. Like, just don't offer it, and we're not going to have any issue, right? Exactly. So, it's
The deeper, like, you get into the prep, the more bite. Mad you get. Yeah, if you're by the time you're 3 weeks out, you're like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Of course, I want a bite, but I cannot have a bite, so let's just stop. And just insecurities obviously can come into play because your partner is about to be looking fucking phenomenal, and their peak physique.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, I know relationships that are actually still active, so I won't name names, of people who, like, their boyfriend wouldn't let them go to the gym because, like, guys might check them out, or guys might even look at them. Like, they were like, no, I actually don't want you to go to the gym. And, okay, let's just point, this boyfriend's fucking fat. So, like, it makes sense where he's like, I don't want her to get in shape. And that was a thing that's been a thing for, like, years in this relationship.
That's
like,
so bad.
She's not allowed to go to the gym.
That is crazy. Yeah,
I know in Ohio, like, that's a big thing. Like, where, like, I'm from, where, like, your wife doesn't go to the gym. Like, your, like, girlfriend doesn't go to the gym. Like, no, like, we like them tubby up there.
Oh my God.
That's a real thing, though. People, like, not wanting their partner to get in shape because it'll obviously make them insecure. And then, oh, they'll have to get in shape, and God forbid.
That's so bad.
Yeah. Other things you can do, though, helping cook, meal prep some of the time. You know, again, it's not your responsibility to completely take over everything that's your partner's responsibilities. But, you know, just being, you have a little bit extra time, maybe instead of watching her video games for 3 hours. Go and help her meal prep a little bit, you know, have it ready when she gets home from the gym.
No fucking excuse. If you're sitting there playing Xbox for hours and she's the one cooking, like, shut the fuck up. Like, oh my God. Like, yeah, I would be pissed.
Yeah. And then just, you know, the little things, maybe taking care of some extra little chores, giving words of encouragement here and there. Just making them know that you're still there for them.
Yeah, and there's like little but funny supportive things you can do as well, like possibly helping shave your partner when the time comes for that. Help me shave my back.
Yeah.
Like little things like that. But it's like something that when you do that, like I genuinely do believe like something, like that's kind of an intimate experience. And
yeah,
it somewhat does bring you guys closer. And like, that's like a nice supportive, like bonding thing. It's funny at the time, but it really is like, I feel like it actually is a little meaningful.
Yeah. It was,
For sure.
We were ourselves, we competed in like 3 shows together in like a 2-month period. So we were just like all over the place traveling. We were doing all of our own tans too.
Yeah, we're tanning each other.
So it's just a fucking mess, but definitely, I don't know if I'd say a fun experience, but
I'd say it definitely brought us closer if that was possible for sure.
Yeah, and just all around, you know, when your partner is in this headspace, just being that positivity in their life, you know, even maybe someday you're not feeling it, that's completely okay. But also knowing that your partner might be going through a little bit more than you at this point in time, and just trying to pick it up when they're down, you know, having this system between you guys, like communication is very important. You also shouldn't expect your partner to know how you're feeling if you're not communicating it. So having that communication and just, yeah, trying to be the positivity in the relationship sometimes, maybe when they can't pick up that slack.
Yeah, I think like communicating how you're feeling is so important, and there's like, you should be positive, because the reality is, even if you have some negative feelings going on, just communicate them with your partner, and just know like you should trust your partner's supportive for you. They're going to be there for you. Like, you guys care about each other. If you've built like a good life together, like I just never see any reason to actually be negative. You can say, I have some negative thoughts going through my head, but I'm not going to let it ruin my day.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, people are really different on this side of things when it comes to your partner enjoying other foods around you. And my take on that, like, again, is like, it's not my problem. Like, he can be enjoying different foods if he wants to, but maybe for those last few weeks of prep, let's not do that.
I'd say there's a line. There's a line to what foods, how much. A different person might have different boundaries where it's like, maybe Lauren's favorite food in the world is mozzarella sticks, and she's like, please just don't eat mozzarella sticks around me. Like, those are my favorite food, or whatever it may be. I feel like that's like a communication, like where you guys, you guys have to figure out where that boundary is, and it'd be hilarious. Got to establish just the no foods list.
But some people like enjoy being around food that they love. Like, I know some girls that I follow on Instagram, like, really still love cooking cakes for their partner in prep.
Georgia Daniels.
Yeah, she does that all the time. I'm like, that could not be me. Like, I cannot be around this food. Like, that would make it so hard for me. But some people just like smelling it.
And
can live through other people enjoying it.
Dieting, I would go smell the foods. I'd make foods and I'd smell them and give them to my family for sure. I've done that like for years. That's definitely something that I would do.
Yeah, I don't know. Sarah, how are you on that?
I like to watch food, like shows on food. That's all I watch during
prep. What about like,
but I won't cook.
Like, Eric,
I don't know. I feel like my brain feels like it's eating it, so I'm not hungry afterwards. I don't know how that works, but for me, that's what works.
Oh, yeah. I'm the opposite. I don't watch food. I block food accounts. Like, that's, I can't do it. It makes me have cravings, and I'm like, I just don't want to think about food. I don't want to be around it. Like,
every eating challenge possible, I watched it during prep. It would be an hour video, eating as much McDonald's as I can in 1 hour, and I'd just be watching it.
Doing cardio, that's all I want.
Yeah, I'm going to stare at my screen watching it.
All right. Sweet. Awesome. Well, this episode was a lot of fun to film, and I think a lot of people are really going to benefit from this as well. So we'll wrap it up here. It's gone on pretty long, but Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
Absolutely, guys. And if you guys need any posing coaching help, or you're looking for a lifestyle or prep coach, Coach Sarah is there. Peace out, guys.
Yes, sir.